Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Easter on Zoom.
My name is Mason. I'm an alcoholic. I've been through this process with the help of the Big Book Step Study sponsor and the challenge of letting down. I made my amends. I'm willing to make more if they present themselves. And I practice 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability every day. Again, thanks, Peter, for hosting and inviting me. And TK, it's good to see you again. And everyone over there in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, and around the country, possibly the world. I'll say like every chapter is my favorite chapter, but before I knew what I was talking about, before I was the process, I would have said this one because it had my name at the top of it, which is We Agnostics. I usually, if I end up speaking and diving into more specific spiritual principles when I talk about this, which is every step, really, I reference this chapter. I reference page 47 because it says it perfectly. And I want you to remember this when I'm talking, because I might get specific when I talk about God and when I talk about spiritual things. But to remember the top, page 47, it says, "When therefore we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception of God. This applies to other spiritual expressions, which you find in this book. Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you." So just a little bit about me and as it pertains to my relationship with God is I honestly, nothing crazy happened in my life. I wouldn't have said it was very hard. My parents took care of me, you know, it was a loving family. Neither one of them were alcoholics. I think they both grew up watching their parents do that stuff to themselves, and they kind of stopped, didn't do drugs or, you know, drank very much, derby parties, that kind of thing. That's about it. My dad was raised Anglican, not from the US. My mom was raised Catholic, and, she got kind of turned away from the church, and, specific time when they met in art school in 1971 in Florida. They were a couple of hippies, all right? They had religious upbringings and backgrounds, but, you know, it was never forced on us. It wasn't brought anywhere. And we were encouraged to go out and figure, you know, have our own spiritual journey, me and my brother. I was baptized. We brought the church, you know. I mean, I was never brought through any of the Catholic rites, but I remember having to go to midnight mass a couple times, which was not a blast. But I just didn't really have a relationship with God. And having been encouraged to that and going to school and kind of educating myself, I read all kinds of different books, you know. I said I would be that guy who'd be like, "I read the Bible, it says X, Y, Z in here, you know, that's a bunch of craziness." Or they're metaphors, it's okay, it's just a story, you know. And they mean well, that kind of thing. I read the Bhagavad Gita just because I wanted to see the cool quote, you know, from Oppenheimer. I took one of the books the Mormons gave me at the door. I think I went to a couple meditation sessions in St. Augustine for a specific kind of Buddhism, but I was definitely an agnostic. By the time that I'm in a room contemplating being willing to believe in a power greater than myself, I thought God probably existed. Some creator, even just a word we use for the cause to the effect that is everything around us. But more importantly, for 26-year-old Mason, you know, at the time, was that I thought I had a firm grasp on what my place on the grand stage of the cosmos was, and that being absolutely insignificant. So if I do maybe, maybe not believe in God, it definitely doesn't notice me. And what's the use of asking for help anyway when there's a whole, you know, universe going on out there? I don't play the lottery, and the odds of attracting God's eye seem far, you know, longer than winning Powerball. Moving on the reading, though, the bottom of 44, this is a little digression before I get back to it, but it's a very important part, and I think we keep it in order here. If a mere code of morals or better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. Any studying or reading I did, was it long-winded conversations and lofty books, you know, all that, that I did, didn't prevent me from becoming an alcoholic. Knowing right from wrong, until I took the first drink, of course, didn't stop me from getting drunk. And going to church or wherever, even with people who do it regularly, doesn't stop us from, you know, being necessarily who we are. So later on, and I'll skip ahead, after being through this process, I was urged to help get another man through this work. I made a promise during my third step, take another man through this work. And I found it actually particularly difficult to work with another man who was kind of a regular churchgoer. You know, he went every Sunday, you know, and it was always kind of his answer when I'm like, you know, so you need to pray, you need to increase your relationship with God. And we'd go over this process and we'd go through the directions and get him ready for his readings. It's going to be a tough time. And he said, that's not the problem, right? You know, and that line right there, you know, if it is a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life, then we wouldn't be here, right? If that's all it took. That above line and what follows, and we agnostics helped out tremendously in communicating that other man, that just because we have a regular fellowship or something to bring to, that alone isn't enough. You know, and also the knowledge alone isn't enough. And some who feel that they have a strong connection with God from only regularly attention worship, or may ignore this chapter and miss one of the many times, you know, we're told to live is to have a spiritual experience. And even though we may already believe with all our heart, we must be opening to having the spiritual experience. By the way, the one I skipped over was like, there's a solution. I'm like, oh yeah, no kidding. There is a solution. That's why I'm here, guys. You know, which is ironic considering what the solution is, which is having spiritual experience and increasing, improving your relationship with God and higher power. Moving on from there, on page 45, this is the lack of power. That was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Our loved ones, co-workers, bosses, doctors, judges, juries, not even our own willpower, which we had held above everything else, could help us. If they could, we probably, again, wouldn't be here. I do love how it says, obviously, by the way. What is it? Lack of power. That was a dilemma. Obviously. That was not obvious to me for 1 year and 10 months of trying to find just the willingness to believe in a power greater than myself. It brings it into this work. I needed a sponsor to give me direction, to guide me through, to tell me to read this these pages, and then to read it back to me and with me. How it was explained to me was that if I or other people I listed earlier, doctor, wife, juror number three, whatever, could conceivably believe ourselves to be more powerful than this higher power, then it's not a higher power. So no doorknobs, sorry. Now, the way my brain works and how egotistical I tend to be, and sales it happens, that's my excuse and I'm sticking to it. I am no person, and no person could be my higher power, nor any group of people could be my higher power. This is, again, using my terms, using my words. If no group of people could be my higher power, then nothing people can conceivably control can be my higher power. And I have a heck of an imagination. Without going to some crazy tinfoil hat stuff that I'd absolutely love to talk about, you know, Peter, we'll come see you in the Villages of Promise with you over a cup of coffee. I'll just say that leaves off anything that I can see, touch, or can be understood. No earth, no sun, no celestial bodies. Again, please reference what I said at the beginning when I talked to you about God. I'm saying you're a conception of God. But onward regarding finding a power greater than ourselves, on page 45, paragraph 2, after it asks the question, but where and how are we to find this power? It says, well, that's exactly what this book is about. Not the chapter, that prefaces through 64, not the first one, 64. That is exactly what this book is about. And we're only on step two. Yes, I had a spiritual experience as a result of this work. One of my favorite things that my sponsor said to me, I've stolen anytime I talk about it for a fourth step, is that our fourth step is a vessel in which to have a spiritual experience. And you read earlier today in the spiritual experience, mine definitely was of the learning variety. And a true spiritual experience started to become apparent to me later on in the fourth step. Not here in a second. I continue to have a spiritual experience in growing with the relationship I have with my higher power. This book shot through with directions and anecdotes where finding and understanding a higher power is the answer. On page 46, the reference, we found that as soon as we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commenced to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. So after my last drink, it's 8.5 years ago, I'm at 28 years old now, if anyone's keeping track. I went into a recovery center that was run by a Christian ministry. We went to Bible study, celebrate recovery. I don't know if that's a thing all over the country or not. CR, that's what I'll probably just call it for short. And my Ormond Beach Big Book Step Study Highness meeting. I remember the guys who were in the recovery center, they'd come hang out with me when I was doing the meeting too afterwards. I knew they would come visit this recovery center and they'd talk and hang out. They seemed pretty cool. And my highest sponsor, he sponsored a couple of them. And after my last drink, they got me a bet. Here we are. So at that point, I'm around all this Jesus stuff. And I always thought it was a bit silly, but I don't want to die. So, screw it. I felt I tried literally everything else around this step two nonsense. So all that was left was to give this a shot. So back to my first book reference on page 74. Do not let any prejudice you have against any spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you. And we continue. At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious reaction with God as we understood him. Afterwards, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of reach. Man, 7.5. So I asked the pastors and other ministers around me lots of questions. I asked my sponsor plenty of questions. He told me to pray about it or ask the pastor, by the way. That was generally his answer. I directly addressed my own prejudice towards established church. I didn't just read the religious books. I went to history class. I had my own misgivings. I had this fallen idea of what an institution of man and religion done to the world, and still possibly does, and that was, blocking me off from, I honestly asking kind of important questions, especially how it concerned into my own personal, at this moment, here we are, life and death. I directly addressed my own prejudice towards the established church and what they said they believed. I asked and I was willing to actually listen. I then became ready to take my last second step. So on page 47, paragraph 2, do I now believe or am I even willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon the simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective structure can be built. And I get the definition of cornerstone as it applies here. The second definition says an indispensable and fundamental basis. So my wife's a weirdo who asked for a dictionary, by the way, for Christmas a couple of years ago. And I got one. So that's from the American Heritage Dictionary. I've heard a bunch of people say, like, you can't just go online and look stuff up. All Merriam-Webster stuff's on the internet, right? And Oxford. But I'm a millennial. Mostly a joke, by the way. My sponsor made me get a dictionary to do my definitions and write them down in that first little slot of my five subject college road notebook. But cornerstone. This is the foundation piece we build the rest of our work onto. We can't build from here without a power greater than ourselves. I'm going to get into that a little bit later, and we start getting to 3 and 4. That had been my missing piece. Over 2 years of trying this 1, 2, 3, get to 4, barely start it, not start it, and it all falls apart again. Another step three is when I proclaimed to give myself my will over the care of God, as I understood him, I still had those prejudices. I thought it was just what I was supposed to do. And then we'd get on to all this work people kept talking and going on about, you know, and they get through it and say things. So I may have said I was willing, but really deep down, I wasn't. So then like our friend here at the end, of our readings, he tells himself, he's contemplating, or he tells himself, who are you to say there is no God? And then, you know, man, by the way, 100% would never think that. Who am I to say there is no God? My name is Mason Bradley. It's a pleasure to meet you. Oh, last name, you know it now. So here's what worked on me. When I was talking to the pastor, I kept asking him, what's the deal with all these rules? You know, I'm not going to get into crazy details, but I was saying like 10 commandments, gazillion rules in the Old Testament, finite, clear, resounding, this is it too in a new covenant. And he told me to stop focusing on what can't be done with God and start focusing on what can be done with God. And for me, it was right there. Remember, I have a fairly wild imagination. And over the course of the next few days, contemplating this thought, this conversation I had, the promises, the 9-step ones I read announced, you know, regular AA all the time, the 10-step promises became my favorite, that I could like stop fighting everything and everyone, that this problem could just be removed from me. Like it was not there. What my sponsor told me to pray for, which is to be reasonably comfortable most of the time. That sounds amazing. I finally had a conception of a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. So the next time I did my 3rd step, I was truly willing to believe. Because I had a power greater than myself, I was equipped to conduct the thorough and fearless step 4. No stone left unturned, and God was bearing the burden I never could. Because I had a power greater than myself, I was able to say aloud the wrongs I had done and resentments I had harbored in the presence of another man. And of course, God was always there. Because I had a power greater than myself, I was able to give God all of myself. And then we look at the magnitude of the work we do in Big Book Step Study as such a daunting task, because I have a power greater than myself, I get to have the rest of my life. My wife, my mother, my brother, they get to have the rest of my life. I didn't find God. I became aware of God. It had become obvious, right? And no matter how insignificant I am on that grand stage of the cosmos, that a power greater than myself, who has all the time in creation, has plenty of time to help do for me what I can't do for myself. I think I'm wrapping it up a little early. Sorry about that, but I wanted to, and I know I skipped some things, but there's plenty of qualified, amazing speakers here that I can't wait to hear from either. So thank you for inviting me, and thanks for letting me share.